the mix closed for the major averages in Monday's Wall Street session. The S&P 500 and the Nasdaq finished slightly higher, the Dow fractionally lower, but all three indexes did put in all-time highs. Now, in fact, the S&P 500 and the Nasdaq closing at record highs.
Oil had its strongest opening week for any year since 2013. Refiners and exporters whittled away at crude inventories. Energy reporter Dan Wertheim joining us now from Singapore.
We're definitely seeing a drawdown in inventories. It started about a year ago right now, in January of last year, when OPEC and Russia started working together to cut production and allow the world to eat away at an inventory overhang. The U.S. inventories, which are the most accurately tracked ones in the world, have been falling for several weeks straight, and now we're seeing oil jump back up into the 60s.
This chart, G#BTV2701, and it shows that the rise of the cryptocurrency last year looks very similar to what happened in 2014 when it hit then record highs, only to suffer a steep decline. So is history going to repeat itself?
WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's January 9th. Glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. A good broadcast for you today scheduled. A little bit later in the program, we're going to be talking about Bitcoin and some of the first steps toward government regulation of Bitcoin as the cryptocurrency gains in popularity and in value. That'll be in our second segment this morning. Coming up momentarily, we're going to take you to the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. And Jennifer Jolly, our tech guru, will be with us from there to tell us about what's going to be hot during the show that's getting underway officially today. The media has been there for a few days, but everybody gets to come in today. That's coming up momentarily. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, futures are pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street. Dow futures are up 40. NASDAQ and S&P futures are a little bit higher as well. Around the globe this morning, markets in Europe are generally higher, with the CAC up about 0.5% this morning. The FTSE and the DAX are about a third higher. And in Asia, markets are also higher, with the Nikkei leading the way, up about 0.5%, 135 points. Oil is trading at $61.87 a barrel, up 14 cents. In trading, overnight trading on the New York Merc. Some stories that we've been watching for you this morning, one of them involves pace of interest rate hikes this year. The Federal Reserve may only need to raise interest rates two or fewer times, given weak price pressures and a possible loss of public confidence in its ability to hit a 2% inflation target. That's what the Atlanta Fed president, Rafael Bostic, said yesterday. He says he's still on board with the U.S. Central Bank's slow removal of monetary policy accommodation in the face of domestic economic growth. He feels may hit 2.5% this year, as well as continued low unemployment. GoPro founder and CEO Nick Woodman told NBC yesterday that he is open to the prospect of selling the company. This announcement comes after really bad guidance from the company, declining revenues in its core camera business, also its exit from the drone business. Yesterday, the stock had to be halted for a time in the morning as it fell almost 23% during trading yesterday. The U.S. consumer technology industry is expected to reach record sales of $351 billion this year. That's up almost 4% from last year. That's according to the Consumer Technology Association. The sales, this year's sales got a boost from the addition of on-demand video services like Netflix, Hulu, and Sling TV, and on-demand audio services like Spotify, Pandora, and Apple Music. The CTA included these services for the first time in order to better capture, in their words, the full expanse of the ever-growing and ever-evolving consumer technology market. That's where we're focused this morning. The Consumer Electronics Show, CES, is getting underway in Las Vegas. And Jennifer Jolly, our tech guru, she writes for USA Today and others, is with us from the show this morning. Jennifer, good morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
The holiday season, the tech season for Christmas is over, and now CES. Are you ready for the big show?
I am never ready for the big show, but year after year it happens whether I'm ready or not, and whether the 4,000 other journalists who go are ready or not. So My chargers, you know, all my battery chargers are packed. I've got my comfortable shoes. I guess that's kind of ready.
Well, what are you thinking is going to be the big thing at CES 2018?
Well, we know that we're going to see a lot more integration of those virtual personal assistants. So last year, Amazon's Alexa took over just about everything from, you know, smart home speakers to we saw integration in cars with Alexa. We expect more of that this year, plus more talk of Google integration, the Apple HomePod integration, even though that didn't make it in time for the holiday season, their new smart speaker. We do think that there'll be a lot more announcements on that this year. So we expect a lot more of that. And wondering, you know, one of my questions is, can anything really rival Alexa's smart home dominance? Not only do we think that we'll see more of that kind of dominance or more of that kind of integration, but will any of the other companies be able to step up and match it? That's one of the questions I have going in.
Right, and with the number of Alexa units that were sold over the holidays, I kind of doubt that it's an uphill battle.
Right, I think so too, and nobody's doing it as well. So we'll you know, expect to see more of that integration. The other company that seems to be everywhere, you know, Intel gets into every press release that I see this time of year. You know, we see different various Intel technology embedded in everything. NVIDIA is starting to really give them a run. Not starting to. They have been giving them a run for their money for a while. But NVIDIA, Qualcomm, we expect to see more out of that. And that's the kind of the guts of the technology. Doesn't get as much of the glory, but it'll be interesting to see some of the smart health tech, some of the smart sports tech this year. And then Dolby. I keep seeing the name Dolby in everything. So not only have we really relied on Dolby for sound, but we're starting to rely on them more and more for picture quality, which lends itself into kind of the next big story out of CES year after year is smart TV screens. Are they skinnier? Are they thinner? Are they foldable? What will be the big buzz around the new television screen of the year? So that's something I expect Dolby to come out with some kind of information on how they're integrating sight, sound, touch into that next generation of television screens as well.
Yeah, and companies are even getting got a jump on the show this year. I know LG, you mentioned one of the smart TVs. they announced theirs last week before the shows even began.
Yeah, and they tend to do that. LG is one of those companies that says, all right, you know, we get there, every company starts having its keynote. Sony does a pretty good job of keeping some of their biggest announcements under wraps, but Samsung and LG, they're already telling us what to expect to see. You know, they're already making announcements and getting that buzz going ahead of time. And I think that that's a good strategy because we are so busy. There's a finite amount of reporters on the ground there. And I go Sunday, which is 2 days before the show actually starts, but the day that some of the big media stuff starts to happen. And I'm not exaggerating. I will work 20 to 22 hours for 3 or 4 straight days in a row. I mean, it's freakish. And that's what we all do for those first several days that we're there, just trying to get the news out. So I think these previews really help us wrap our own heads around what to spend time covering, as well as just kind of get a little head start on it, too.
Jennifer, hang on. We're going to continue with Jennifer Jolly from the Consumer Electronics Show this morning. Jennifer, of course, the consumer tech journalist at USA Today and at the New York Times, and also the founder of Techish.com.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 520 this morning. Jennifer Jolly is at Consumer Electronics Show, CES in Las Vegas. Jennifer, the founder of Techish, and also writes for New York Times and USA Today on all things tech. And Jennifer, these some of the new smart TVs that are coming out, the 4K Ultras, some of those high-end TVs, those are going to be hot this year. I honestly can't tell the difference now watching some of these. They've become so good. Can you?
You know, I can't tell the difference when I'm watching the video of them. But when I'm standing there actually at CES and I'm going from screen to screen, I can tell the difference. And one of the differences is in how skinny they've become. You know, last year Samsung launched that TV screen that you mount on the wall. It's like a poster that you mount on the wall or a framed photo that you mount on the wall. This year LG has announced that they're coming out with something similar to that, you know, with the newest, more high-tech version of that. With that sound, that Dolby integration, and I'm trying to pull up a press release that I saw on that as I'm saying this out loud. With that kind of integration, you know, we'll see, and I feel like a bit of a broken record, like these eye-popping graphics and whiter whites and blacker blacks, and the picture kind of melts off of the screen. And I've said that now over the newest technology for several years in a row. We'll see that. It will get more impressive this year. Plus that voice integration, being able to just tell your TV what to do and it does it. So yeah, we'll see new signs of that. And then I'm just still trying to find my little Dolby.
Video experts always tell me that what it is this frame rate. The high frame rate is what the difference is between all these. I don't understand any of that. But if it makes the picture look better, more power to the companies.
Right. Yeah, I don't think the average person, there's a lot of marketing jargon in all things surrounding these ultra HD 4K TVs. You know, what we've seen as people who are buying this technology is the prices went so low for these really high-tech TV sets. And really, it's been a matter of keeping the content up to date with the technology. So, you know, we're talking about these new organic light-emitting diodes, these OLED screens with impossibly thin designs. Samsung could really wow us with new versions of its TVs. Sony, Vizio, Huawei, you know, expect to see them fighting with each other to where it really benefits us in terms of those prices coming down and these new TV screens that we'll actually want in the next year or two.
You mentioned, we talked earlier about the Alexa and the Google Assistant sort of integrating, and that sort of transitions into smart home, the Internet of Things. We've talked about that before. Are we expecting more from CES on Internet of Things and smart home?
Oh, absolutely. That will be one of the biggest, most talked about new, you know, buzz trends of the year. It'll be more integration into the smart home. So using your voice to connect and operate basically every aspect of your home. We'll see more. Every year we do see some kind of smart refrigerator, you know, smart home appliances where your refrigerator can text you or tweet or something when it's, you know, you're out of milk, you need to buy milk. And last year we saw Ford put that Alexa integration into some of their dashboards. So you can say, you know, you're driving home, you can say, Alexa, order milk, you know, or Alexa, oh God, I just turned on every Alexa.
Amazon,
every Echo in my entire house. Hi, everybody. Good morning.
But that's where we're at these days, right?
And I just ordered milk. Okay, good, because we're out of milk. But we will see more of that where you walk into your house and you turn various lights on. You'll operate your stove with your voice. You'll have voice-operated microwaves. And I'm pacing through my own kitchen now thinking, you know, eventually your refrigerator, and I expect to see some prototype of this year, where your refrigerator just automatically orders your groceries for you. It suggests what to make for dinner based on what it has inside. So we will see more of things like that. And then I just got pitched for something I'm super excited about, which is a laundry folding gadget. And we've been pitched on this before. I hope that we see it and that it actually works. But that's something I'm excited to see this year as well.
And the CES has become just as much of an auto show, too, as it is just regular consumer electronics. What are we expecting from the automakers there this year?
Well, I'm getting picked up from the airport on Sunday in an autonomous Lyft car. So, you know, that's one thing. We'll see more of the autonomous cars, more technology coming down the pike with autonomous cars. Also, Hyundai has really, they've already unveiled a very connected dashboard. And by that, it's, you know, basically a computer screen living in the dashboard of your car. Last year, Toyota had some really interesting updates, and let's see, I'm pulling this Hyundai. So the infotainment technology, it's basically using your voice, using your in-car voice command systems. So, navigate to the city, play my favorite playlist, turn on the lights at home, open the garage door. It's that kind of integrated AI, like we've been talking about with Amazon's Alexa. We'll see more of that. Last year, the car that one of Toyota's concept cars of the future not only drove the car for you, you could take a nap. It had a seat that gave you a little massage while you rested. I expect we will see more of that, that these cars that will be driving us in 3 to 5 years from now. And one of the biggest things about the about CES and cars and vehicle technology is that, the Detroit Auto Show happens right after CES. So this year, it seems like a lot of the auto manufacturers are really trying to scoop each other and get their news out at CES versus waiting until Detroit. So of the top five biggest trends, tech trends that we'll see at CES next week, automotive is right there at number two or number three.
Virtual reality and augmented reality. I know since the last time we talked to you, we saw a couple of moves in this area, especially by that mysterious company down in Florida with is starting to release its goggles. What do you think we'll see in this area at CES?
I think we're making a big shift away from virtual reality, which, Oculus, Facebook, they kind of have that shored up, those bigger companies, and we'll see more augmented reality. So just like that Lenovo, Disney, that Star Wars Jedi challenges that we played with before the holidays, where you put your own smartphone into a headset, you launch an app, you can still see what's going on in the world around you, but with a layer of kind of the Pokemon Go layer of that artificial or augmented reality in front of you. We will see a ton of that coming out of big companies like Samsung is announcing some health partnerships with some augmented reality wearable glasses, all the way through to companies that's all they're working on. So I was pitched for something where you walk around a city and a layer of augmented reality shows you anything historical that happened in that place, in that city, which I think is just brilliant and a very interesting practical use case in this coming world of augmented reality.
Jennifer Jolly from the Consumer Electronics Show CES in Las Vegas. So make sure you follow her on Twitter at Jennifer Jolly and on Instagram too. She does some great stuff on Instagram. Jen Jolly with two N's. She's the founder of Techish and consumer tech journalist at New York Times and USA Today.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program, 538. Glad you're here with us for our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. Some news about Bitcoin this morning. Two U.S. companies have shelved proposals to launch Bitcoin exchange-traded funds, citing ongoing concerns by the Securities and Exchange Commission. Filings with the SEC yesterday show the staff at the regulatory agency expressed concerns regarding the liquidity and valuation of futures contracts based on the digital asset, according to one of the filings. The move adds to a new hurdle to a bid by Wall Street firms to capitalize on investor interest in cryptocurrencies, and it opens a rare public divergence between two financial regulatory agencies over how to regulate them. The trust controlled by Rafferty Asset Management and Exchange Traded Concepts, LLC, each canceled plans to launch three Bitcoin funds. Here in Illinois, the Bitcoin craze has sort of hit the capital, state capital. An Illinois House subcommittee has been formed to explore the state's policies toward the decentralized digital currency. The chairman of that committee is with us this morning here on the Opening Bell. State Representative Jamie Andretti is here with us. Jamie, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. How are you? Yes, I'm the chairman of the Cyber Security Committee, and Chairman Michael Zalewski is going to run the subcommittee. So I'll be working closely with him. On the subcommittee, I will be the vice chairman.
State rep from the 40th district, by the way, we should mention. I'm guessing all of what I just mentioned about what's happening nationally with Bitcoin has prompted this sort of looking into Bitcoin here in Illinois, hasn't it?
Yes, we are looking beyond just the Bitcoin. We're also looking into the blockchain. You know, Bitcoin is just a small little percentage of the blockchain technology. And, you know, Chairman Zelewski has also, we introduced legislation to create the blockchain task force to look at how we can make government more efficient run on that technology. So it's not just, you know, we don't want to just, I know everyone's talking about Bitcoin, but the main thing is how to streamline and make government more efficient based on the technology that everyone's using Bitcoin.
Yeah, because we should mention there are other digital currencies out there, and this blockchain technology can have a lot of different benefits. It is confusing, isn't it? I mean, just for the ordinary person to sort of understand, and I know in this show we've sort of tried to grapple with explaining all of this. Is that the first hurdle, at least when the public looks into this, is having them understand what's going on?
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the biggest things is even myself, you know, with all the experts that we're working with right now, every time we discuss this topic, I learn something new. So, and I think that's the biggest thing that we need to get across to actually not even just to the public is we have to first start even educating our own members and regarding this, because everyone is only looking at it at what they see in the news on Bitcoin. You know, it's 18,000, 15,000. You know, right now we just want to make sure people understand what exactly is behind the Bitcoin. You know, there's like four or five different cryptocurrencies, and so that's why we thought that Chairman Zelewski, Michael Zelewski, he would be the best to run the subcommittee because he is chairman of revenue, and so we want to. People look at it as a sort of currency, so we thought he would be the best to run the subcommittee.
You know, talking about that blockchain again, the idea of replacing old antiquated systems is one that appeals, I think, to all levels of life, government, business, even our own personal lives. What are the pros and cons of that, and should we be focused more on the danger or more on the possibility of saving some money?
No, I think absolutely you should look at more of the positive. The blockchain technology, I mean, that opens up wonders of what you can do. Imagine down the future if you can actually own your own data, of your health record. Instead of going to every doctor and having to fill out a new medical form every time, your data is actually on the blockchain, and you are proprietary of your own medical data, and it is owned through you, and you could share it, and you give access through the blockchain. So, I mean, you look at real estate transactions, titles. Well, right now, the Cook County government recorder of deeds office is using the blockchain technology. And one of the biggest advantages is we're trying to prevent fraud, and if it's on there, you can't go and just keep changing it. You know, there is a certain pattern, and you'll be able to save these transactions, and hopefully that's what we're looking at, is to prevent fraud.
As somebody who knows the inner workings of all of this pretty well, what would you say the financial savings could be to, let's say, the state in this regard?
Oh, I think it can. There's a huge possibility of savings. You know, even with stop using all these paper that we're using now, which is ridiculous. And I think the possibility of us moving forward is very, very real, because, you know, we in Illinois, we have the blockchain initiative. We have the blockchain task force, and it's and the big difference that we're doing here in Illinois is we're working with the companies, and we're working with the organizations that possibly are going to be using this blockchain a lot more. IBM is working very closely with blockchain. They're running parallel with their cloud and their blockchain, and they're moving ahead with companies to bring them forward through blockchain. So I think this could, you know, once we update our ERP and have that set in place, I think we could talk about millions of saving money here.
States, you know, regulations right now don't necessarily favor any of this. What will it take to allow that? Or are you thinking that this subcommittee is going to be pushing toward possible legislation, or can these rules be changed through the executive branch?
No, both. I believe that what will happen is very shortly we will receive a report from our blockchain task force. Jennifer Rourke has done an incredible job, along with other members from DoIt, working with the companies to see how we can implement this. And maybe one of the goal might be that, no, you know, we don't need really regulation. We just need some, maybe the only type of regulation that we might need is just to allow some permissibility, just to allow that it be recognized within contracts, within titles, or other different aspects of the business. So I think it's, we'll know very shortly with the final report that's coming out shortly, and that will give us some direction as to what, even if we need to do any regulation. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest thing. We do not want to do what other states have done, that they've gone in with a, you know, hammer and tried to regulate this, because I think the biggest problem is people try to regulate it without understanding it. And our thing is to make sure we don't overregulate, and maybe we don't even have to regulate it. And that's our goal.
Yeah. Your committee, which looks at cybersecurity, I mean, you're very aware of the security aspects of all of this, too. I'm sure that'll be in there, and so are the environmental complaints about blockchain and all of the energy that it takes. Are those valid concerns, do you think?
Well, here, they're, right now, one of the, you know, people are saying that the transaction fees and the speed it takes, it takes, you know, just the amount of energy uses too much. But I think everything within time, I just read another report about a new service called Lightning, and that is going to decrease the time and the cost. So I think with any new technology, within time, it improves. I mean, here, just when we started doing credit cards, I highly doubt we could do the hundreds and thousands of transactions we did when it first started right now, you know. And so I think within time, it's going to change. And here, we just started with Bitcoin. Now we have, I think, five different cryptocurrencies. So I think it's still in its infancy. And within time, speed and the cost of the transactions will drastically go down.
Well, this is certainly exciting to see that the state is on the cusp of exploring this new technology. We'll be watching very closely to see how things go. And State Representative, we appreciate you being with us this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And here, I have great faith in the chairman, Michael Zalewski, of this committee. He has great experience in all different types of technology, and he's done a great job with other topics. And I'm sure, as with his experience as chairman of the Revenue Committee, he will set the state forward and on a direction to make sure that companies and the residents feel comfortable in this new technology.
All right, very good. State Rep, again, thanks for being with us this morning.
No problem. Thank you very much.
State Representative Jamie Andrade, Jr., the rep from the 40th District in Chicago, and the chairman of the Cybersecurity Data Analytics and IT Committee down at the State House.
You're listening to the opening bell on on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are up 32 points this morning. S&P futures are flat. NASDAQ futures pointing up, but just by a couple of points this morning. Gold and silver are both lower. Gold is off almost $4.50 an ounce at $13.1590. Now the latest on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. President Trump came to Nashville and the American Farm Bureau Convention yesterday and pretty much touched most of the hot buttons affecting farmers and ranchers in the United States. Speaking at the American Farm Bureau's annual convention, the president said Congress would include the subsidies for crop insurance premiums in the upcoming Farm Bill. He said, I'm looking forward to working with Congress to pass the Farm Bill on time so that it delivers for all of you, and I support a bill that includes crop insurance. He made that statement after noting that Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Pat Roberts was in attendance. The president said, we're working hard on the Farm Bill, and I think it's going to go well. Also, he touched on one of the needs in rural America, and that's broadband coverage. About 39% of rural Americans lack access to high-speed internet service. That coming from the Federal Communications Commission in a 2016 report. The president said, we need to get rural America more connected. We need it for our tractors. We need it for our schools. We need it for our home-based businesses. He was interrupted several times by solid applause from the Farm Bureau members, and apparently the president remembered what voting segment of the electorate helped put him in office, and that was rural America. The Farm Bureau Convention will continue today, and then later this week on Friday, we get the critical crop report with final crop production figures for 2017. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. A couple of other stories this morning for you. Consumers in the U.S. in November ran up nearly $28 billion in new debt on their credit cards and in the form of new auto and student loans, a sign of growing confidence in the economy. Federal Reserve says consumer borrowing grew 8.8%, the most in more than 2 years, to $3.83 trillion. A former engineer at Google from the Chicago area, fired for writing a memo questioning Google's commitment to diversity, has filed a lawsuit. James DeMore, a 28-year-old man, alleges his ouster was driven by a corporate culture that discriminates against white men. He is white. People also, he says, with conservative views were discriminated against, including supporters of President Trump. The 168-page complaint filed yesterday on behalf of DeMore and another former Google engineer depicts Google as an elitist company that runs employees, shuns employees who dare to deviate from a liberal agenda embraced by its management. Google has not responded to that lawsuit publicly with a comment. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Tuesday, January 9th. Some things going on. We'll see the job openings and labor turnover survey out today. U.S. Supreme Court will have a hearing on police ability to search vehicles. The Senate Finance Committee will consider Alex Azar to be the new Health and Human Services Secretary, and API State of American Energy 2018 address happens today as well. Some of the things that could move the market. By the way, CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, also begins officially today. Delta earnings tomorrow. Friday, some bank earnings, including J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, BlackRock, and December retail sales coming out on Friday. Just some of the things that could move the markets. That's the opening bell for this morning. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning with another edition. Until then, I'm Steve Krasanich. You have a great day.